The St. Paul Media Group Ministry would like to congratulate our pastor, Dr. Ephraim Williams, for being recognized for his excellence in areas that benefit humanity and receiving an honorary doctorate from California State University on May 19th. Way to go, Pastor! Congratulations! Expressions from St. Paul is listener supported. We ask that you pray on sowing a seed into this ministry and help us take the good news of the gospel all over the world. Greetings, friends. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 46 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And at 10, our morning worshiping experience begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. In this week's lesson, which Dr. Williams titles The Grace of God, he talks about that unmerited favor that God gives us, and our past becomes just that, our past.
When you come to Jesus, whatever is in your background, Jesus washes it all away. That's why I can tell you today, by his grace, I'm saved. I've come a long way by the grace of God.
Let's open our Bibles together to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
I assume that some things you never get used to. St. Paul, I highly appreciate you, and thank God I don't have to practice being a phony because I've never been one. And if I don't love you, I'll tell you. But I love you, and I'll tell you that also. I appreciate you as a church, as a congregation. I thank God for giving me an opportunity to be in this position and to follow his direction. I also, the second time, less than a year, that Sac State University has saw within their graciousness to honor me through their trustees. When I graduated from seminary, I received a call from San Antonio, Texas, after we had paid off our first mortgage, telling me that in terms of Sacramento, I had been selected and also monitored the ministry of the St. Paul's Church family growing. And they wanted to honor me with the same degree. I didn't talk about it much because I just don't like to do that. So they came, and they were very kind. Then after the award, I was invited to Dallas, Texas, to come take an interview for a church. And I thought that was wonderful, but it's hot here. It's hot. And I'm not a summer person, and I felt that, and I believe this with all my heart, that God sent me here. I didn't apply, and I didn't lie. Deacon Wright says you need to give us a resume. I told God prior to that, I turned down three churches, and I have. And if he wants me to pastor a church, I'd give myself and he'd have to take care of the rest. I said to Brother Rice, I cannot give you no resume because it'll look like I am getting in God's way. I still believe that. If God wants you somewhere, he'll put you there. Nobody in this congregation who is living and was and are dead can ever say that I buddied up to anybody to come here. I didn't have to because I didn't call myself. He called me and I have submitted to him after turning down three churches and waiting to be voted on another one. Since I've been here, I had seven churches, tried to get me to leave. Now, you have to listen to this. This might be the only sermon you're going to get. Don't ever leave nothing that God put you in. If God can make the universe, carve out the mountains, and have eagles to fly higher than jet planes, he certainly can maintain whatever he decided to do. Amen. Now this has to do with our ministers. Pastor Rockwell, I've been here 46 years next Sunday. I never stole a dime. Never. I never asked for a raise. And sometimes I needed one. I never did any maneuvering trying to get some money. And I never will. I am blessed to be half Williams and half Marcellus. And those people were honest in their doing. I have with us, who came to help celebrate with me, my oldest nephew, my oldest brother's son. Dr. Jackie, would you stand? Amen. He used to babysit Gwen and Butch for us. He was young, but yet old. That's the gentleman that I told you about. His daughter graduated from Spelman and the University of Michigan at the same time. She had so many units when she was in high school, she'd go to Spelman College, and she was still in high school in Chicago. He has two sons, both graduated from college. One of his daughter-in-laws just finished law school. His other daughter-in-law is a sociologist with a PhD. And yet, you would never know that if you wasn't told. We are a family that don't believe in bragging and throwing your head up what God has done for you. So we appreciate Jackie being here today. And then I have a daughter named Gwen Williams. Will you stand, Gwen Williams? Gwen, I always get this mixed up. Gwen is a widow. Is that correct? Yes. She's a who? Well, then she's open and available. She'll never get over that. I'm just trying to make you laugh. And then I have a spiritual son came here to help encourage and celebrate. He's a pastor in Chicago, Illinois. When Kenneth went to Chicago, him and his family, as a family reunion, I sent Kenneth to his church and told him to have Kenneth to preach. Everywhere I go, everywhere in this country, I know somebody. Amen. And I'm grateful. Now, Art, and I'm through with that. Art, you look real well preaching here this morning. Why don't you come back and finish? Amen. Thank you very much. I'm going to, I don't use the word, I hear it a lot, but I don't use it. I am going to preach today. Some say I'm going to try. I can't try what was given to me. I have to just do it. If you stand with me for just a moment and get your Bible and turn to my friends, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. It reads as follows: For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse number 10, this is the one that always gets to me. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me did not, my friends, prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. And I want to talk about the day, my friends. I want to talk about the grace of God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There are some subjects in the Bible you can never preach enough. Grace, mercy, love, faith. I could go on. You'll never preach those subjects enough. Grace is something that I talk about to you if you're visiting with us. I talk about this often in St. Paul, that if you're saved, if you're saved, and if you're not, then you need to get saved. Grace, whatever you think of me, grace has covered my background. It's covered. I don't care how many sins I committed in the past. They've been covered by the grace of God. Amen. You can dig them up, turn them over, plant them, but they're still covered. And whatever God covers, nobody can uncover it. Amen. So we look today, and we reminisce over the past. It is said that some years ago that there was a conference, comparative religions exposed from around the world. They gathered together and debated what, if any, friends, belief was unique to Christianity. And I can tell you now, none. I hear people say all the time, if Jesus is the only way, that we teach is incorrect. Well, I tell you, I'll die on it. Jesus is the only way to heaven. I don't care how many groups you belong to and how much you accomplish or how much you give. If you want to see God, you going by Jesus. Amen. Jesus is a representative of us. Some years ago, Kenny came in the office and said to me, he said, so-and-so is in jail, and he would like to know if you would bail him out. I know him well, nice young man. I went and took my credit card and bailed him out. I said to him, now, don't let anybody tell you that you're a jailbird. Because I paid your fine. Yes, sir. You're free. When you come to Jesus, whatever is in your background, Jesus washes it all away. That's why I can tell you today, by His grace, I'm saved. I've come a long way by the grace of God. And I tell you today, I got to thank Him. Because no other way I would have known Jesus or known God except by Jesus. Church, Jesus Christ, the grace of God, when they got through comparing these religions, they left out or eliminating the possibilities of the incarnation, the resurrection. And there's a debate today about the incarnation of Jesus. Someone said, I was blessed. I received, I think I told you this before, I received a full ride to Davis University without paying a dime. Yet, I said, no, I'm not going. Friends, I want to tell you something this morning. I have received a full ride to go to heaven. And it's paid for by the blood of Jesus. Yes, sir. It's paid for. I don't have to do anything else. I don't have to pay no American Express. I don't have to pay my friends on a card from United Express. Or from American, or from friends, any bank, it's paid for. So if I drop dead in New York, all you say, he's gone in the presence of God. There's nothing I can do. And this is confusing to some preachers. There's nothing I can do to change that. Nothing. I mean nothing. That's why I say it is not biblical for a church to look down on people who are there. Not biblical. There is no Negro or Afro-American can ever tell me they have not sinned. Because I don't believe that. You say, but you see, what you call sin is the Baptist sins. Drinking, gambling, lying, running around. You can run around, don't leave your house. That's the Bible. You can think it in your mind what you're going to do next week if you get a chance. So since I know that we have all sinned, come short of the glory of God, then I know I'm protected by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Friends, listen carefully here. No religion had accounts or return from death. None. All of the top cults in the world, that their leaders are still dead. Buddha, strong, wise, but he's still dead. Facetious, they talked about him and bro wrote about him, but he's still dead. I wish I had the time here today. All of them are dead. But the last time I checked, the Jesus I accepted, he rose from the dead. No, he pushed his own stone away. And he got up and said, my professor used to say to me, you so dogmatic about he got up. I said, yes, I am. Because the reason I know he got up one day, he got up in me. And since he got up in me, no one can tell me he's not alive. Now, I've never seen Jesus, but I felt it. I never shook his hand, but I felt him shaking my body. I never walked up on him, but I felt him coming behind me. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody. Church, listen carefully here. When they got through with all of their debates and listened careful and discussion and had all kind of issues and accounts about Jesus, friends, the debate went on for some time until C.S. Lewis wandered into the room. And he said, "What's the ruckus about?" He asked and heard in reply that, "My friends, that the ruckus is about the debate and the discussion by Christianity's unique contribution among the world's religion." C.M. Lewis, he responded, "Oh, that's easy. The answer is the grace. After some discussion, the conference, my friends, had to agree that nothing of God's love coming to us, it's free of charge. You don't pay for God's love. You just accept it." I studied a course, 100 and something numbers at that time. I don't know how many, 180. I don't know how many it is now. And all these costs, you have to do something. You have to give something. You have to buy. But what I have, you accept something. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I give you rest." But you got to accept it. Amen. I've trusted God since I was 12 years old. I know what he'll do for you. 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 Down the street from where I live, or down the road from where I live in Mississippi, there were 19 children this family had. The daddy farmed, and he worked in the railroad. And I used to go down, ride my bicycle, and watch those children work, how hard they're working. Watch those girls, you don't know what this is, plow. And I said to myself, "God, if you are in heaven, don't ever allow my daughter to plow no mule with no mule. I want her to plow by driving. And I don't want her to get no, what is it, stick shift. I want her to just put the foot on the gas and the brakes and just drive." But all those kids accomplished something because their mama was saved and the daddy was saved. All of them accomplished something. And the reason I know that because one of the girls lived in Chicago with her auntie. And in my early teenage years, I dated her for 5 or 6 months. And don't look at me and say, "In my teenage years," because some of you would do it now if you was a teenager. And Polk said, "Church, listen carefully about this business of grace. I hope I do give you the grace justice. Friends, grace is not something that you get today and lose it tomorrow. It doesn't only cover you now, it covers you forever. The Buddhist 8-foot path, the Hindu doctrine, friends, the Jewish covenant, and the Muslim's code of law, each of these offer a way to earn approval. Only Christianity dresses, my friends, to make God's love unconditional. Amen. When you really know God loves you, you don't worry about what your neighbor thinks. Amen. Well, I was in a meeting here some years ago, and it got out of control. And one of the preachers in this meeting said, you know, "I don't like you, Williams." And I said, "That's one of you thought about me." Because I didn't think about you. I'm here in the meeting. You didn't run across my mind. You see, I had the love of God, and when the meeting was over, I rushed to him and embraced him. Somebody said, "You're crazy." I said, "No. No, he's crazy. I'm not crazy. My job is to show him I'm bigger than that." The grace of God. Church, listen. Between when it comes to the grace of God, it is, without question, one of the most unlimited and, sad to say, most appreciated attributes of God himself. It seems as if the longer that we are saved, the more familiar we become with grace. Take it for granted. You can't do that. You can't take grace for, "Well, I don't have no problem drinking because God understands." That's right, but you don't. If I knew somebody understands me, I'm not going to mess over them. So since God understands, who am I hiding from? I still believe, give me a bottle. I still believe, I'm talking about myself. Give me a bottle. I still believe if I'm going to drink, I can't hide from God. I still believe that what I'm going to buy, look in the store, I see it, and you put it under your purse. I still believe God can look under it and see that it's Jack Daniel, black and white Scott, Old Taylor. He can look under there and see all of that stuff. Why do we try to hide from a God that knows it all? It's not going to work. And let me say this on my way to heaven. The young adults, the millennium, whatever they're called today, and the people who are growing older, let me say this on my way to heaven. Many of us never read scriptures. A lot of things happening today is nothing new. It's in the Bible. We don't listen to it. So young people, whatever you sow now, listen carefully, young people. Whatever you sow now, you might be 80 years old, but it's coming up again. And you tell me, "I don't know what happened to me." Yes, you do. You just try to cover it up. But unless grace covers, it'll never be covered. Grace. Grace, one of my favorite songs. My cousin wrote it and sung it. And it's, "Your grace and mercy has brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through." Grace, grace. Listen, friends, it seems as if the longer we know God, the less we appreciate him. But I have come to the conclusion, when Trump gets through with us, we're going to bow to this God that we used to talk about. We're going to tell him, "Thank you that you brought me through it. I'm not worried about what Trump can do to me, because Trump got a God over him. He may not be in him, but he's over him. And if he's over him, he knows exactly what's going on." Amen. You can cheat all you want to cheat and get all the votes you want, but it's coming up again. Amen. Grace. Without the gospel, my friends, without it, the gospel is dead. Truth be told, we are to be in hell upside down with our backs broken. But blessed be God, when justice and judgment announced punishment, grace stepped in and stepped up and announced he's been pardoned. That's grace. Oh, my brothers, as we come to the portion of Scripture, we are once again reminded of the grace of God. As you know, 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter, friends, is famous for being the great resurrection chapter, and so it is. However, before the apostle begins his, my friend, begin his deliberation or his access or dealing with what God has put him over, friends, he took a sneak peek at the reason for all, the grace of God, for it is in these two verses. He does something quite interesting. That is, he draws a parallel between the grace of God and our service to God. And truth is, it is the grace of God which, my friend, which has given us a reason to live and to serve. And somebody said, I'm not going to do nothing in that church. I don't have to. You're not hurting the church. You're hurting yourself. Amen. You said, but I would never say that about God. When you tell God you're not going to do something, you are talking against him. He saved your crazy self. He saved my crazy self. And now I got the nerve to tell him what I'm not going to do? I owe him something. Because if it had not been for the grace of God, I would not be saved this morning. Amen. I said, my mother came to visit with us, and we thought we were smart and young, and we tricked her. We thought we intentionally bought her a one-way ticket so we could keep her as long as we wanted to. So after 3 weeks, she said, I'm ready to go home. I said, Mama, but you need to stay here and you enjoy yourself. You don't have anything to do. And this, these are her words. She said, boy, I have some money. You don't have to have no round trip tickets for Hilda. I knew you before I came out here. And so I have some money. And if I can't go to the airport, I call them up and they'll bring it to me. That's what you call wisdom unspoken of. So I shut up. Got her ready. And then on the first Saturday in August, she said, y'all have been good to me and kind, but I'm glad to go home. I said, but you don't have to go home. Make this your home for the summer. Travel Chicago in the fall. Go back south in the winter and enjoy life. She said, that's not life. Life is I go where I'm happy. I'm not happy here. I said, well, what are we doing? Nothing. I just don't like it. I don't like Sacramento. And I said, you don't like? No, I don't like it. And I said, well, why? I said, why, Mama, you don't like Sacramento? And I couldn't believe this, y'all. She said, it's too slow in country. And I would have said amen, but I didn't want to say it. I wanted to say amen. That's a long time ago, but it's better now. It's better. Our past has been eliminated. Notice, my friend, verse number 9. The apostle writes and says, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But listen, if you please. But what Paul is doing is reminding us that it was grace which eliminated his past. You see, friend, Paul is reflecting back upon his days and deeds before he was converted. Oh, sometimes I look back and I say, Lord, if it hadn't been for you, I'd have been dead. Let me give you something you don't want to talk about. I went to a place in Chicago. You had to pay to go in. It was called a first class nightclub. They got to fighting and shooting in there. I mean real shooting. And so I ran down the side of the wall and got out without getting hurt. Half of the people in that nightclub got hurt. You telling me that I don't thank him for his grace? I never went back again. I was 18 years old and had no business in there the first time, following some young lady. And Harvey said, amen. I almost got killed, but you see, it's an amazing thing about following young women when you're young and sensitive to beauty and love and kindness and patience and every now and then say, you sure look good, sir. But you see, that's wonderful when you're young, but when you go to jail, they don't come. So I said, from now on, I'll have no business in this kind of place. I was going to church every Sunday, going to Bible study on Wednesday. I just went in to check it out. Before you say, well, Pastor, you did, say to yourself, well, I was there too last year. All of y'all have been somewhere, maybe with a nightclub, and you didn't go there because you didn't have no money to pay. But you have done something that God's grace has covered you now. Amen. He is reminding us. There are some things in the past that Paul wasn't proud of. He'd been some places he should not have been, and said some things he should not have said, and done some things he should not have done. Here was a man who had been my friend's presence at the death of Stephen. In Acts 7, in fact, it was Paul who held the garments of Stephen as he was being rocked to sleep. Rocked, I mean, by beating him and killing him with stones. Also, here was a man who was world famous for being the greatest persecutor of the church of God. I mean the greatest. But look what he says. In fact, you will remember that while he was on his way to the Damascus, he was taking, my friend, letters granting him permission to continue to persecute the church of God. However, something happened on the way to the road in Acts chapter 9. Listen, beloved, in a nutshell, the grace of God came in and eliminated his past. Now, don't get so high-minded just because it is Sunday. If we were to go around this building, all around the sanctuary today, every one of us have a past. Ask yourself, help me to remember my past for a moment. It may not be the same degree as Paul's, but nevertheless, every one of us has a past that God's grace has saved us from. That's why I love him so much. Church, the grace of God saved me from what I used to be and got me now what I am. Only his grace. Church, listen carefully here today. Listen very carefully. when I think about his grace. In fact, you will remember that while he was going down the Damascus road, he was taking authority to continue what he was doing. Listen, beloved, in a nutshell, grace of God is trailing somebody in here this morning, trying to get you saved and cover your background. Friends, it may not be Paul's background, but it can be your background. Well, I'm too old to worry now. Now is the time you better worry, because if you haven't straightened it out, when you die, you won't be in the presence of God. Amen. As an illustration, I like to give sometimes. During the late 18th, great evangelist Henry Morehouse made several trips to the Americas to preach. And on those occasions, he was taking a walk through a poor section of the city. And when he noticed a small boy coming out of a store while with a pitcher of milk, the boy slipped and fell, spilled the milk, broke the pitcher. Just then, the boy, friend, after all that happened, he was crying. Morehouse rushed to the boy and found him hurt and extremely terrified. He asked the boy why he was so frightened. He said, because my mama is going to whip me. The preacher suggested that they try to put it back together, and they couldn't. He took him and bought a new pitcher after he couldn't put that one back together. Picked the boy up and carried him home. Put him on the porch, and he asked him, you think your mama going to whip you now? He said, no, because this pitcher is better than the one I had. Listen carefully. Then he returned to the dairy store and had the pitcher washed and filled with milk. And when that was done, he carried the boy, friend, back home, putting the boy down on the front porch. Morehouse handed him the pitcher and asked these questions. The boy broke out with a wide smile and said, sir, she won't whoop me now, because it is a lot better pitcher than she had before. Can I help somebody today? So it is with everyone who have experienced the matchless, meaningless, and the magnificent grace of God. Amen. Church, we were nothing but broken pitchers, not fit for anything. My friends, torn up from the floor. But the grace of God, in spite of what we had done before, made us brand new. And I may not be what I ought to be, but hallelujah to God, I ain't what I used to be. Blessed be the God. Grace has taken care of me. He has redeemed me, and my friend, in spite of me. You ought to tap somebody and say, I know that's right. And some of you sat in church sophisticated, fine, got everything you want, and as mean as a rattlesnake in my backyard. You haven't had a touch of grace. Grace would make you humble. Grace would make you loving. Grace would make you kind. Grace would make you love your boy when he messed up, your son. Grace would make you forgive your daughter when she messed up. Grace would help you to be happy yourself. Grace would help you to sleep at night instead of talking about somebody. Grace has everything we need. Friends, listen carefully. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. The songwriter had the right idea when he said, "Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that brought liberty, my friend." Listen, grace brought it. I don't know why he came to love me so, but he looked beyond my faults. And I thank him today. He saw my need. Yes, he did. He saw my need. Church, when you look at it the way it is, and you can't change and you've been saved, I take the risk of saying you're not saved. Let me give you why I can say that. Here was the biggest persecutor, the worst, the strongest, and the baddest. And he got saved. Stand up, Charles. He got saved. Charles, look this way. Hold your fist up. Now hold it. Now he's not saved. So he balled his fist at me. Now you get saved, he put it down. That's what happens to you. This is just me. If it's just you, what about the God in you? If the God in you can't change you, he's not in you. Amen. 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 My Sunday school superintendent, I caught him in an area here when I was young, drunk. And he put his hand on my shoulder. He said, "Sonny boy, you didn't see me." He was drunk and he lied. So I went to Sunday school the next day. He was in up front. I didn't say nothing to nobody that I saw him drunk or he lied. But I talked to him after. I said, "Deacon so-and-so, did you know that you was up front this morning and you were drunk last night?" Here's what he said. "If you know what I'm going through with, you would be drinking too." I said, "That's right, what you are going through with. But what you should do is who's going through it with you. If you got some help," I said, "there's something stronger than homemade liquor. It's so strong until when you get to praying, you forget where you are." I said, "If I were you, and I'm a teenager, I would never drink again and come in Sunday school. Because you're hating young people." I was young. I didn't even tell my parents he was drunk. And you know why? The Bible says some things you ought to keep your mouth closed about and let the grace of God handle. He turned out to be one of the strongest advisors for me to go on with my life. Amen. 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 Now as I come to a close, the grace of God. Our presence has been established. The apostle not only reminds us that this grace has eliminated our past, but it has established our presence. Notice again, verse 9. We thank God for where he has brought us to. Verse 10, he has eliminated all what we couldn't do for ourselves. You see, grace took the rebellious enemy, Saul, of Tarsus, and brought him into the family of God and bestowed upon him the privilege of sonship. Grace gave him, my friend, the angel an angry rebellion against him. He gave him the gift of the new birth, the Holy Spirit, hope, and the calling into the apostleship. So Paul is saying that whatever he was in the presence, in the past, the grace of God has given it to him. And hold it before we get too puffed up, arrogant, and full of conceit. So it is with us. I submit to you that whatever you are today, that is positive, good, and productive, it is by the grace of Almighty God. Mahalia Jackson says, when I was young, singing, they laughed at me. Some of the young folks made fun of me and said I was too big to be so young. She was singing, I will never forget it. She says, now I'm older. How I got over. My soul looked back and wondered how I got over. And they were still under. Don't laugh too quick. You don't know where God is taking somebody else. You just don't know. Grace of God. The grace of God. Hold fast to what you have. Grace not going nowhere. Now I can stand here today and tell you where I came from, because of grace. Where I am, it's because of grace. Where I'm going, it's because of grace. Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because
I want to thank you
and praise
you too.
Your
grace and mercy brought me through.
Hallelujah.
Your grace and mercy
brought me.
I'm living this moment.
Yes.
Because of you.
And that's what I like. I want to
thank you.
And praise you too.
And praise you too.
Why?
Your grace and mercy brought me through.
Yes. Called for my end. But grace stepped up and said, No.
I've already paid for it.
Yes.
Because of you. I want to thank you.
Will you stand today?
And praise you.
If you're here, will you say yes to him?
Your grace and mercy brought me through.
Your grace. Sing it. Will you come today? Will you come today? Will you come today?
Because of you.
Will you come today?
I want to say.
Will you come today? Will you come today? Sing it, church.
Your grace and mercy.
that brought me through. I'm living each moment.
I'm living this moment.
Welcome to St. Paul. I want to thank today.
Praise you.
Your grace.
Your grace.
Will you come today? Rob. Look what it did.
Brought me through.
Will you come today?
Why'd
he speak to your heart?
Brought me through.
Will you say yes to him?
I'm living this moment.
Will you say yes to him?
Because of you.
He's speaking to you. Will you say yes to him?
I want to
and
Your grace brought me through.
Still speaking to you.
Justice demanded that I should die. But
will you come?